Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Thank you for sharing your gifts and your talents with us this morning. If you would open up your bulletin, you'll find a copy of this morning's sermon notes that we will be using to guide our meditation this morning. During the season of Lent, we've been talking about confrontational discipleship, not about how do we get in somebody else's face, but even to some extent, how do we get in our own face? How do we think about who we are as disciples? During the season of Lent, we think about, do we need to focus a little bit more, or maybe even a lot more, on who God is calling us to be and what God is calling us to do? Are we, as Christians, becoming the people that God has asked us to become? And we find that from time to time, there are things that will get in our way, that sometimes we start down a path, but for a variety of reasons, we can get off that path and we can get sidetracked. And so I began this meditation, I began this time by thinking about a question that I want us to wrestle with, that Jesus wrestled with his disciples. And the question is simply, what are those distractions in your life that keep you from experiencing the presence of God in your life? What are those distractions that get you off task? In a recent survey that I did online, a bunch of people responded. I want to give you some of their responses. What are those distractions that keep you from the presence of God? Here's their response. Selfishness, other people's demands and expectations, the internet, cell phones, communication overload, fear of the silence within my own heart, superficially busy, I'm overextended, noise, fires that need to be put out, deadlines, relentless demands, self-absorption, computers, emails, I'm in a hurry, I don't have time, jobs and the self-absorption, text messages. Everybody is expecting an immediate response. Illness, my ego, fear of missing out on something, things that are in the process of coming about, the economy, making ends meet, a mountain of debt that I'm facing, money, worry, anxiety, sleep, sadness, lack of intentionality, concern for the future, lack of focus, Facebook, small stuff, other people's stuff, jealousy, TV, my ego, my limited self, demands from society to be something else, my humanness, little details, the rat race, exhausting need to take care of others, a voice inside my head that won't let me go, life and myself, finding quality time, the daily grind, business commitments, cell phones, TV. Somebody once responded, I never experienced the presence of God. Emails, work, my job is now 24/7, 365. I'm always on call, always available. We're always expected to be there. I've never taken a vacation without checking email. The symptoms of overload, the symptoms of distraction. The intentions were good at one point to be a disciple, but we got off track. Does that sound familiar to you? Does that sound familiar to your life or people that you know? How easy is it for us as Christians to get distracted? Jesus faced this. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, we encounter a story that Jesus encountered people and challenged them with experiencing the presence of God. Maybe this story this morning might touch you and wake something inside you. Would you join with me as we center our lives on God's Word? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe he has a purpose for my life. the story of Mary and Martha. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Dear God, in this moment, as we encounter you and your word, help us to take on and confront the distractions of our life, to put our priorities where they need to be, and to experience you every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How do we confront our priorities? We write down what our priorities are. Maybe you might even list this as your priorities: God, family, work. That's how you'd like it to be. But how often does that get completely reversed? Work always comes. You know, the demands are always there. That is the most important thing that you deal with. That's where you give your time and effort. Maybe your family gets stuck in between, and if there's any time left over, you give it to God. I had a conversation with somebody this week about, you know, about being a part of the church family. You know, haven't seen you in a while, and they said, "Well, you know, Sunday is the only time I have me time." And so God has moved not from number one, but maybe to number four or number five. I had an English teacher several years ago that told me, as we confront our priorities, that you really can't have priorities. You can't have multiple priorities. Priority is a singular word, a singular noun. You can't say, "I have multiple number one things. I have number one, I have five or six number one most important things." And in our culture, though, because we are so torn by all of these covenants that we have with family, with God, with work, with relationships, friends, we've made them all our priority. And so when they all demand our time, we are torn. We don't have a hierarchy of where it ought to go. And so we are, as it says in Luke's gospel, we are distracted. We are distracted. In Jesus' encounter with Mary and Martha, it tells us that Jesus comes and Martha begins preparing. She is offering Jesus the gift of hospitality. As a matter of fact, it says she is distracted by that which needed to be done. It had to be done. The problem was that in her priorities, the immediate urgency, "I have to prepare this," overrided what was the most important thing in her life. As a matter of fact, the Gospels tell us that Martha was distracted by many things. Do you ever feel in your life, in your relationships, that you are distracted? In this passage, distracted actually comes from a Greek word that means to be drug around. And so if we insert that there, it tells us that Martha was being drug around in her life by her worries about many things. I think that's one of the biggest illnesses of our generation. People being drug around, out of control, being forced to do other things by the demands of the urgent. So what does Jesus tell her? How does he encounter her? He tells her, "Martha, Martha." By the way, in Hebrew writing, that double word, "Martha, Martha," is a sense of intimacy. He's drawing Martha in. You encounter this as well when Moses goes to the burning bush. "Moses, Moses," there's a sense of intimacy. "I'm drawing you." He's not rebuking her. He wants to enlighten her. "I'm drawing you in. Please trust me. Martha, Martha, you're distracted, you are worried, and you're fearful about many things, but only one thing is necessary." And he tells her, In Eugene Peterson's translation of the Message, Eugene Peterson says, "But Mary has chosen the main course." She's chosen what is essential, and it will not be taken from her. He says, Martha, in this moment, the number one thing is you have to know what's important to you. You're distracted by all of these other things that have to happen, and you're not focused on what is most important. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus himself, learning about life and values, and that's the most important at that moment. He's not saying that what Martha is doing is irrelevant. Nobody should be doing that. He's saying, but at this moment in time, focus on what's most important. How well do you know in your own life what is most important? Imagine it this way. Think about it this way. What are you doing right now in your life? What things, what projects, what plans do you have that are going to be valuable in 5 years? Well, I'm answering emails, and I've got some text messages, and I've got to do some things. How much of that's going to be valuable to you in 5 years? Find out for you what is most important. Second thing we have to figure out is once we know what's important, we have to know what's not important. There's a story I heard this week about Flight 401. In 1972, Flight 401 out of JFK headed for Miami. And as the plane began its descent into Miami, the pilot, as he's supposed to do, pulled the lever for the landing gear to go down, right? That's always a good thing, isn't it? What?
Three green.
What happens if one of the lights doesn't come on? You start sweating, right? Well, what the pilots ended up doing in this story is one of the lights didn't come on. Well, did the landing gear come down? And so, or maybe it was the light bulb that had burned out. So they began looking and checking, and they began taking off the panel in order to check this little light bulb in this big jumbo liner. And as they are checking on the status of this 76-cent light bulb, they had forgotten that the plane was in constant descent until it crashed into the Everglades because they were focused on a 76-cent light bulb. How many people do you know that their relationships, their families, their life is falling apart because they are focused on a 76-cent issue? You got to know what's important to you. You got to focus and eliminate the tyranny of the urgent. One of the things that I would mention to Chris and Shannon, in raising your child, it will never be the urgent things that will dominate. It'll be the small things, the presence all the time. It'll be the important things in his life. The urgency to go to work and to answer those emails and to the pressures will never override what is essential, to be there and to be the example that you need. Never fall victim to the tyranny of the urgent. Always know what is important. And finally, you've got to restore a sense of balance in your life. What Jesus is saying to Mary and Martha is both of them are valuable. How many of you have ever taken a psychology kind of exam, a personality test, Myers-Briggs or something, where you have people that are introverts, people that are extroverts, people that are feeling, people that are sensing, people that are thinkers, people that are doers? We have both of these in our nature. The question is which one do we use at the right time? Do we give rise to both of them? We can't always just be people that sit at Jesus' feet. There comes a moment when you have to get up and let's go to Jerusalem. We have to be doers. We can't just be pew sitters. We have to be action-oriented as well. But at what moment do we have balance? There are people that are so interested in being active and being involved that they forget, am I just spending time with Jesus? Do you have Mary and Martha in all of our natures? In a movie that came out several years ago, City Slickers, I know that you've probably all seen it, with Billy Crystal is in it, and there's an old cowboy by the name of Curly, played by Jack Palance. He's just a typical kind of leather-faced guy, really rough and rugged, and Billy Crystal is just enamored because Curly seems to have it all figured out. And Curly goes around and said, you guys from the city, you get all torn up about all of these things that are distracting you, but there's really only one thing that is important. And of course, the rest of the movie, Billy Crystal is trying to figure out, what is that one thing? It's interesting that in this passage, Jesus says the same thing to Martha. Martha, you are distracted by so many things, but there is only one thing that you should be focused on. Well, I don't know about you, but if you read that passage, don't you want to kind of shake Jesus and say, tell me what the one thing is? But the gospel writers tell us, don't they? Jesus tells us in John's gospel, I've set for you an example that you should do as I have done. Live my kind of life. And so how do we live our lives? What is most important? How do we establish balance? Even in our own liturgy this morning, it was revealed to you. Let us so order our lives after the example of Christ. What is most important to us and our future? That we order our lives after the example of Christ. Stay in touch and stay in love with God and serve one another. Do good, do all the good that you can and stay in love with God. If we do that, our priority will remain focused. And all of the distractions will fall away. Remember several years ago, people came out with one of those wristbands, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Whenever you're tossed and you're torn and you're going, I don't know which way to turn, Jesus, be my guide. Guide me and help me know. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you this morning for the fellowship that's bound together. Help us, O God, to confront our priorities and to make you central. In Jesus' name, amen.